We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Okay, welcome in from Soldier Field. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns, episode 120 of the Hogan Johns podcast. And the Mitch Trubisky debut has come and now gone. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where you can find our post-game stories online. Find the podcast on iTunes. Tune in the WGN Radio app. Anywhere else, pretty much, you listen to your podcast. And our podcast feedback line is open, 312-222-5050. Still time to get your voicemails in before Wednesday's show, and we'll compile all of your postgame thoughts from the Bears' loss 20-17 to the Minnesota Vikings. Not really surprised by the outcome. I did think the Bears would win, but for now, let's just kind of keep this about Trubisky. Your initial reaction to his debut, which was just fine?
I was impressed early on, unimpressed at some points, but I think I came away feeling probably like how some of the Bears players feel and fans should feel. The offense around him kind of let him down. Deion Sims had to drop. The penalties, so many penalties, holding after holding, a false start after false start. That's my takeaway from this. Mr. Trubisky was fine, but he probably could have been better if he was given a shot to be better. And I don't think his team gave him that chance tonight.
Well, look, if we're going to kill Mike Glennon for all the turnovers, we have to kill Mitch Trubisky for the turnovers. I don't think that the fumble was really his fault, unlike Mike Glennon's fumble in Green Bay, where he had plenty of time to get rid of the football. That was just tonight. It was just the left tackle who got beat right off the snap. Mitch Trubisky's backside. Don't know what he's really supposed to do there. The interception, though, he took full responsibility for and should. It was a bad decision, throw the ball away. So that obviously can't happen going forward. And if it continues to happen, that's going to be something that's a problem.
Well, here's the difference. We can bash Glennon because he's a veteran, 5-year veteran. Mitch Trubisky's a rookie in his first career start playing against a very good defense. I thought Harrison Smith baited him quite well. And I think Zach Miller's a standout tight end, but Harrison Smith, in most cases, against most tight ends, he's going to win those matchups. He's a Pro Bowler. So, yes, you want to fault Trubisky for making the wrong read. He should have thrown it away. Maybe he should have tucked it and ran for a couple of yards, especially in those final minutes. But he's a rookie. At least he's in a position to make such a play. You know, Mike Glennon wouldn't be.
Well, let's go to that situation. I mean, it's 2:32 left in the fourth quarter. Bears backed up at their own end. It's tied 17. I didn't have much faith in the Bears being able to march down the field there, even though I think Mitch Trubisky has the ability. Remember what I said on Wednesday's podcast, or Thursday's podcast, I guess it was. I thought we would learn more about the wide receivers and the tight ends. Our fears were that they're not good enough. I think those fears were realized, confirmed tonight by the fact that, you know, there were opportunities to make plays tonight. Guys still not getting open. That's a huge problem.
Well, it's still only one game, though. I don't think
it's... No, it's five games now for those wide receivers and tight ends. They're still not getting open.
But they were open in some cases. Trey McBride was open a couple of times, and he has a big gain called back on a holding penalty. There were plays to be made that were negated by certain penalties. Jordan Howard had a 42-yard touchdown run called back because Marcus Wheaton got his hands on somebody. I know what you're saying. I want to see what Mitch Trubisky can do more with these receivers, and I do think it's a weakness, especially when you have all these drops. That goes for the tight ends, too. I think Tariq Cohen was used in different ways, and that will change, too. But one game in a completely brand-new offense with Mitch Trubisky, a lot of moving pieces because he's a big moving piece. I get that people want to make grand proclamations, and I get that the receiving crew is a bit disconcerting, but I think some plays were there. Some mistakes were there, too.
Well, yeah, there's no question. I'm really looking forward to seeing this film and kind of
breaking down what was really open and what was not. I hate kind of doing that in these post games. Sound like a coach who doesn't want to comment on stuff. But once we see the film, we'll have a better idea of really what this performance was. Here's what my big concern is. Okay, you had 10 days to prepare for this game. You looked completely unprepared, in my opinion. It's one thing to have mistakes, holding penalties, and offensive pass interference. I thought there were a lot of calls in this game that were very, very questionable. Let me just say, though, the Marcus Wheaton hold, I still haven't seen a great angle from the backside, which is the angle we need to see. By the way, that's the angle we do have from the press box. And watching live, I'm not surprised he threw the flag. I was watching that block and Howard coming around the corner, and it was Howard, right? And I was going, that's a long block, that's a long block, that's a long block, flag, okay. Must have been a hold, but I never saw a replay that confirmed it. The offensive pass interference, you got to let these guys fight a little bit. And just because his hand was on the defensive player's helmet doesn't mean it was offensive pass interference. And then I thought the holding call on Leonard Floyd at the end of the game was an awful call. Because if Rudolph is just trying to run a route and Leonard grabs him, that's holding. If he engages Leonard Floyd in a block and then all of a sudden tries to spin out of it when they're both got their hands on each other, that's not being fair to the defensive player in that situation. So and the call came from like 25 yards downfield. And that's too big of a moment to have that big of a call made. And that, I thought, was a horrendous call.
Well, I think that in general, the refs got a bit flag happy today. I think at that point, after the Floyd penalty, I don't think there was one after that. There might have been one. I'm not sure. Of course, there probably was one. But I counted 17, or I went back and looked at the stats. So it was 17 penalties at that point in the game. I always hate when officials seem to have a role in an outcome, and clearly they did. The Bears had them stopped. You probably had another shot at Mitch Trubisky in maybe 90 seconds left or something like that. The Bears were about to get another opportunity after a Vikings field goal attempt. Had to be a frustrating play for Floyd. He said he felt let down by it. Clearly, like, he doesn't say much, but just reading his nonverbal cues, I feel like he didn't make that play, or he feels like it didn't happen the way the ref saw it. I just hate when officials play a role in outcomes, and this is what happened tonight for sure.
It's just you can't call defensive holding there in that play when the tight end wasn't even running a route. It's just a terrible, terrible call, and a ref trying to insert himself into a game and the outcome, and that's just unfortunate. The other ones, I got to watch the film. It seemed like there were a lot of flags. Getting back to what I was starting to get at, which just the Bears, they were out of sync the whole game offensively, but also on the sideline. Can we go to the first quarter sequence where the Bears have marched into the Vikings territory, and I was kind of surprised that Fox was even going for it because he just doesn't seem to ever do that. But he decides to go for it. But it was so obvious. I'm watching with my binoculars and trying to figure out, all right, is he going to go for it? Is he going to go for it? He took too long to decide. Okay, first of all, that was obvious. And then Mitch said he was waiting for a play call. He was standing there. He said, Mitch said that, and by the way, we'll play Mitch's press conference here in a second so you can hear all this for his explanation. But he said that he thought they were going to be going for it because it seemed like they were. And then he was waiting for the play call, and it just took too long. So then they had to call timeout. So that's, to me, on the sideline, being unprepared for the situation. You got to be thinking a play ahead. You got to be thinking, all right, if we don't get it here, we're going for it or we're not. And then it needs to be made. The decision needs to be made like that. You can't be unprepared. And then, so you call timeout, fine. It's not the end of the world. It's early in the game. It's the first half, so the timeouts aren't the end of the world. But then out of the timeout, they tried this gimmicky thing where they tried to fake, and Fox, if you listen to him carefully in his postgame, he kind of confirmed this, that they were trying to fake run the punt personnel on the field to confuse the Vikings and then run the offense back out there. And again, it just took too long. And they end up with a delay of game. Now, Fox blamed on the fact that the ball wasn't set, that there was no ball, and he said you can't play football without a ball, which, by the way, is true. I just don't know if there was a ball or not. I didn't see that part of it. I have to go back and watch the film. To me, too many excuses. That's football 101, and it's not at all on the rookie quarterback. You need to help your rookie quarterback there by making a call faster. It's 100% on the coaching staff.
Forget the coaching staff. It's on the coach. The head coach makes the call in that case. The fake out? Are you serious?
Yeah.
For real? Come on. You had a timeout, the fake out, and a delay of game. You're trying to get your rookie quarterback some momentum. He had some momentum at that point in the game.
I think the millennials would say you played yourself. You played yourself, John. I mean, and it just goes, that was, the Bears had a bunch of drives where they're, you know, on the cusp of field goal territory, just needing like one more play to get at least in the field goal territory, and it was a penalty, or it was something like that. I mean, that's just inexcusable. That can't happen. And just like the penalties can't happen either. There was just way too much of that. I thought that the Bears could have controlled this game way earlier by finishing some of those drives, at least getting field goals. Sam Bradford never should have set foot on the field tonight. He was not 100%. He didn't look confident. He was basically sacking himself a couple times. At the first sign of any kind of pressure, he just crumbled to the ground. And the Bears failed to take advantage of that. And once Mike Zimmer realized that and made the very smart... This whole game changed when he decided to put Case Keenum in. Not only that, but go with Jerick McKinnon, who fits their offense a lot better than Latavius Murray does. Once he made those decisions at quarterback and running back, that's when the Vikings started scoring. That's when it put the Bears behind and they had to come back. This could have been a completely different game if the Bears had taken advantage in the first half when they had all those opportunities and they couldn't do it.
You can run fake out. Let me get this. When you could play a clean game. This team has never played a clean game since John Fox has arrived in Chicago. Now, I think he's good for the locker room. I think he's good for morale. He's great for what the Bears needed to clean up after the Mark Trestman era. But, look, you successfully ran a fake punt. I'll give them that. You successfully ran a very well-executed trick play for a two-point conversion. But in certain situations like that, I'm sure it's maddening, so frustrating for fans to see things like that. And again, like you said, in the first half, there was momentum there. Trubisky was feeling it in some capacity. That ruined it. All the penalties ruined it. A drop pass by Deion Sims ruined it. So many things added up to negate any really good things Mr. Trubisky got going early on.
You know what John Fox would say, though, if he was listening to this? He would say it worked. Because, by the way, it did work. I don't think that they should have been messing around like that. But if you saw the play, the Vikings had nobody lined up on the wide receiver to the left. I'm not exactly sure who it is off the top of my head. Whichever wide receiver for the Bellamy was lined up to the left then, uncovered. Uncovered. And it definitely would have been a first down. It would have been a huge play, maybe even a touchdown. But they couldn't get the play. Now, if the ball really wasn't set and it wasn't there, then that's another mistake that by the officials who just look. I don't know what's going to come out of these reviews when they look at the officials' performance. But I think it's safe to say Jerome Boger will not be refereeing the Super Bowl in Minneapolis this year.
Again, well, you know, yeah, the refs. They got happy with the flags today, but, you know, whatever about that fake out. You still sent – I get that Josh Bellamy may have been wide open. You still send out your rookie quarterback in his first career start in primetime television with, like, 8 seconds left on the clock. Not good.
You know, it's interesting, though. You know, John Fox said after the game that the players can kind of feel Trubisky's presence on the field. I thought that was kind of an interesting and accurate way of putting it. You know, there was a different feel – even though the Bears ended up losing this game, the entire game, there's a different feel in the stadium today. More excitement. It was louder. It was louder when the defense was on the field. The crowd was just into it, and it seemed like there was more energy on the field, too. And then it's just interesting to see John Fox try that fake out, fake punt, which worked, and then the incredible two-point conversion, which... We weren't allowed to talk about this, but we saw this in training camp. Now, were you there? Were you back in training camp at that practice? So you saw that. I couldn't remember what part of training camp it was, but they ended practice one day after a 2-minute drill. Trubisky marched down. They scored. They ran that exact play, which when it happened, we didn't get the benefit of a replay. And I remember being like, wait, what just happened? That was a really cool play. And I actually, we were sitting up here tonight and they're in that situation. And I said to the guys sitting next to me, including Kevin Fishbane, I was like, watch out for that play from Bourbonnais. And then they ran it. So hand off to Howard, hand off to Miller, option back to the quarterback who walks in untouched. Pretty sweet play by Dow Loggins.
Can't run that with Mike Lennon. You could totally see the vibe. It's just the playmaking abilities of buying himself time just to have play action bootlegs back in the offense. There's some zone read option looks and some throws. There are some sprint out completions. Just to see a quarterback run out into space and have time because he created himself and look down the field. To see him, even like his touchdown to Zach Miller, to see how he kind of pointed and kind of literally used his left hand to point to Miller to run to the opposite direction. Look, it was an underthrown ball. He's learning that these windows are smaller in the NFL, I think. But it was still a sign of his playmaking ability. It's there. The accuracy is there. This first throw to Kendall Wright, the 12-yard out route, there's a laser. The talent is there. You can see the vibe is different. The whole season is now different. You get to see the development of a rookie quarterback who was drafted second overall in this year's draft.
I got a comment on that, but first let's, with the idea of how Trubisky can change the rest of the season and kind of the outlook with him and this team. But first, let's hear from Mitch Trubisky. This was really about him and his night. So we'll get you his press conference from after the game and sort of just his thoughts on the entire night. And you could tell he was kind of taking ownership of this, which probably wasn't fair because I didn't think he had much help from his offense at all. But here's his press conference from tonight, starting with what happened on his interception at the end of the game.
Yeah, so we had a little quick game called right there and just broke out to the right. And that was basically me trying to do too much, trying to make a play when I just need to know the situation, throw the ball away, and play another down. But I got a lot of faith in my receivers out there and Zach. And I was just trying to do too much outside of what I need to do. Just know the situation, know it's first down, throw that ball away, and go play. So I just forced one. Thought I gave him a chance, and the other dude made a play, so credit to him. But I can't do that. Can't put my team in that situation.
How has the process been for you learning the difference between college windows, NFL windows, what you can get away with, what you can't, as you sort of try to get comfortable and ready for the start?
Yeah, I think it's just a learning process, just like anything else. Obviously, the windows are tighter. The guys are covered. A man zone. They know how to be deceptive and they know how to close the windows faster. So it's just us being on time, me playing within ourselves, getting our playmakers the ball, and just being more consistent all night.
Is that kind of a disguised coverage on that interception? Were they showing you one thing?
No, it was more just a broken down play. So I should have just got down to my check down or throw the ball away. Instead, I scrambled out to the right. So pretty much it was a broken play from there, and then I just forced one.
Like you were in a bit of a rhythm early, and then things kind of leveled off. Was it something they were doing maybe that threw you there?
They're a great defense. You got to credit to them. But I think it was more of us shooting ourselves in the foot with the penalties, stopping ourselves when we're in rhythm. And we just got to take that momentum and really step on the gas pedal right there with the runs, with the passes, and all that kind of stuff to keep them off balance and swing the momentum in our favor. But that's how it rolls. So we just got to go back to work this week, get better, fix the little mistakes, because we got a good football team. We just need to start believing more and stick together.
What are some of the things that you liked, that Dow called, that you liked, that you thought worked really well tonight?
I liked every play Dow called. We were always in a good situation all night. We were staying aggressive. It seemed like we were keeping them on their heels for the most part. And that's a really good defense. So for us to do that, I just got to do a better job of taking care of the football. So, we just need to work on the little things, really.
On the touchdown pass to Zach, what do you see there, and what allowed you to steer him back toward the center of the field there?
Yeah, so just a little naked play, boot out to the right. Seemed like there was a cluster. I'm going to have to watch it in film, but I don't know. where guys were at. I was just trying to direct Zach over to the left because there's open grass over there. And got a little lucky. Ball got tipped. But at that time, it bounced our way. The next time, it didn't. And that's how it goes sometimes. But it was cool to get my first one. And Zach made a good play. So we just – I was trying to do too much. Threw across my body over the middle, but that time it went our way. So sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't.
Mitch, the guys in the locker room are talking about just how you kind of can make the other players better or elevate their performance. How do you do that, or did that happen today? Did you feel like you were lifting the guys a little bit?
I was trying to. Just with my presence, how much I love this game and how much I love this team, and hopefully that could just motivate some guys to play harder, and I think they have faith in me. They believe in me when I'm in that huddle and when I'm making plays, and when things break down, they know the plays is never really over. Anything could happen. And so hopefully the way I work and the way I carry myself just lifts others up, because that's what I'm trying to do, and it just makes playing with these guys so much better, and it makes the whole process that much more fun.
What do you think you'll remember most when you look back in years at your NFL debut?
It was fun. It was Monday Night Football. The crowd was electric. Got to thank them for coming out and being loud and really supporting us. But it's just a start. So take the good with the good and the bad with the bad and just roll from there and just know it's the first one. So can only get better. That's got to be the mindset, and just go back to work and keep improving and keep making my teammates better. I was about to go to throw, and then the defensive end made a good play, so I just got to keep two hands on the ball or get the ball out sooner.
Mitch, Kendall said that you accepted the blame for the loss. You told the guys that the loss was on you. Why was it important for you to deliver that message in terms of accountability?
Yeah, just taking ownership. I feel like that's what a quarterback's supposed to do. That's what I've been doing my whole life. You just take it when especially when you make a play like that, the interception. You just feel like it was your fault, and you could have done more to help our team win. So, I just felt like it was on me. But they know I'm gonna go back to work. I'm gonna fix my mistakes, and I'm gonna watch this film, be critical of myself, and they know I'm gonna get better. So, I appreciate them having faith in me and having my back. But I feel like it was on me.
Mitch, what's the process for you now after a game like this? How soon do you hit the film and look at, look over things?
Probably watch the film tonight or tomorrow morning, depending on what time it is. Watch film right away and just go back to work. I'll figure out our practice schedule, and this week's going to be a little bit shorter since it's Monday, but it was a lot of fun. The process was a lot of fun. Can't wait to do it again. But there's a lot of work to do, and I'll get back to it right away.
Last question. The second series, it was the 4th and 2. You guys took time out and came back out, and there was a delay after that. What was the confusion and what went wrong in that sequence there?
Yeah, I really wasn't sure. I was assuming we were going for it because that's what it seemed like we were doing. And then I was just waiting for a call on the headset, and there seemed to be confusion on the sidelines. So I don't know exactly what happened, but we just need to be better in our whole operation, better at the line of scrimmage, better getting in and out of huddles, really pushing the tempo. And, I mean, those are simple things we could work on in practice, and that's what we need to do. So those kind of things can't be happening. And I don't think you can point a finger at any one person. I think everyone should just take ownership as far as coaches, players. That's simple things that we should be on top of. So we'll improve that this week for sure.
The 2-point conversion, we saw you run that play back in Bourbonnais. Is that something you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, sweet, right? I'm glad you guys didn't give that one away because we did run it at Bourbonnais. Once we knew that got called, it was really a critical situation too. We need that 2-point to tie the game. And, practice – practice makes perfect. So we practice it hard, and you go out there and you see it come to life. It's pretty cool.
So there he is, Mitch Trubisky, and ending with his comments on the 2-point conversion, which he called us, you could tell, a sweet play. He liked it. And then I asked him, was that all Dow Loggins' creation? As he was walking off, I asked him that, and he said, yeah. And so, cool play. A lot of people were on Dow Loggins throughout this game. My thought on that was, he's handcuffed with no weapons, and the players did not hold up their end of the bargain either tonight. The offensive players, just all the mistakes. The offensive line wasn't good enough, and it's really hard to judge Mitch Trubisky. His numbers don't look that great from tonight. His passer rating was like a 60, below 50% completion percentage. I think his adjusted completion percentage will bring that number up a little bit. But I saw a lot of good positive signs from Trubisky. There's a lot to build on here. And it's all about how you, you know, learn from these mistakes and go forward. And you get him some weapons. Like, I think it's still all positive. And just hearing the way his teammates still talked about him after the game, and like Kyle Long said, it's really cool to be in the huddle with him. You can tell he's going to be a special player. Like, there's just a different, like John Fox said, he used the word presence. So this is a different presence with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, they didn't raise their game well enough for a variety of reasons. I like how he took ownership. I really didn't have to. I get that the bad pick, you know, the one that Harrison Smith, that's on him. But, you know, there's a lot of mistakes before that. You know, I know certain plays have more magnitude than others. But I like that he showed leadership, showed accountability. A rookie stood up in that locker room and accepted it, demanded it. That really resonated with players like Kendall Wright and Zach Miller, your veteran options there, you know, receiving options. And I think really in that entire locker room, I think that says a lot about his character and why the Bears definitely felt so good about him, you know, in the draft.
So what does this mean for the team going forward? I mean, realistically, they're 1-4. I think the one obvious thing, though, at the end of tonight is the better team won. I mean, and I still don't think the Vikings are great. And I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Maybe they'll make the playoffs, but they, you know, this was a winnable game for the Bears. But in key moments, it just kept going back to they're missing too many wide receivers. And then in crunch time, eventually the Vikings were able to chip away at the Bears' weakness on defense. As good as the defense played tonight, and they were great. But not having the inside linebackers like became a weakness against that running game, especially once they went to Jerick McKinnon. Now, you get Trevathan back next week. That's huge. You know, maybe you'll get Nick Kwiatkowski back at some point. That would be a huge boost, too. But there's still a talent problem overall. So I'm just wondering, ideally, Trubisky learns from these mistakes, continues to get better each and every week. Like, that's your goal, right? Keep building week to week for your quarterback. But I guess the point I'm making is there's still going to be limitations here. So maybe they randomly pull out a game like next week in Baltimore. But I think more times than not, they're going to fall on the short end of what will at least hopefully be continue to be competitive close games that they have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. And you don't really see those disasters in Tampa and Green Bay going forward.
Well, throughout John Fox's run here, other than maybe your occasional Packers game, is he's shown his teams and Vic Fangio's defenses has shown the ability to keep things tight, just the way they run their game plans. And they've effectively done that. Now, they haven't won those close games enough, and this is why you have a Mitch Trubisky now on your roster. But I think the entire expectations of the season's changed when Mitch Trubisky took the field. I know people want wins and stuff like that, and there will be. He's a better quarterback than Mike Glennon, and this team does have some winning pieces. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, a pretty good offensive line, though they didn't show it tonight, and a defense, if they can get relatively healthy again, there's some players on both sides of the ball to feel good about. Leonard Floyd, forgot to talk about him, breakout game tonight, finally happened. But with Trubisky, it's all about his growing pains now. It's about him getting these experiences, good and bad. That's it. To me, that's it. Forget about the wins and losses. I'm not saying we're conceding wins here, Adam. You and your word concessions and conceding and all that. The Bears aren't doing that. They're going to win some ball games because Mr. Trubisky's a better football player than Mike Glennon. But now you're going to have to go through the lumps, the bruises, all the bad stuff that you have to go through to develop this promising young quarterback.
I think, though, that these remaining, what do we got, 11 games? Still, I mean, there's a lot of season left to be played. There's a lot to learn about what's on the field. There's a lot to learn about Trubisky. You know, quite frankly, he probably would have been better tonight had he played a couple weeks ago. But, you know, there was enough to see on the field that, you know, he'll probably ideally get better and learn more each and every week. And maybe he would have been better tonight had he, you know, had a chance to play a few weeks ago. I don't know. But I will say this. John Fox cannot have moments like he had in this game, where there's obvious coaching problems. There's a timeout he took in the second half out of a timeout by the Vikings. That can't happen. That's the kind of stuff that general manager Ryan Pace has to be watching closely here. And because at the end of the year, you're going to have to either – you're going to have to talk about a contract extension. You're going to have to fire him, or you're going to have to let him come back next year on a, in a lame duck deal, which almost never happens in the NFL. And to me, as long as there's games like this tonight, that doesn't help his cause.
I've seen consecutive timeouts, you know, by the offense and then the defense or vice versa. But that's like on the goal line when you get mismatch problems and the play is so essential to maybe the outcome of the game. That was like a first and 19 after a holding penalty by the Vikings. Mind-boggling. Again, you had my rant earlier about the sideline, as Mr. Trubisky called it. But, yeah, you know, they're going to need to see development. They're going to need to see progress. And wins are all part of that. I do think the Trubisky dynamic buys Fox more time. But, yeah, again, going back literally to what I just said, you need to see concrete development gains. You need to see some wins here or there. People need to feel good about certain things, and eventually the ups and downs of Trubisky are going to get tiresome by week 12, week 13. You want to see wins.
Yeah, and again, let's get back to the fact there's 11 games left. There's a lot of time here for Mitch to prove things. There's a lot of time for John Fox to prove and things. And Dow Loggins. I mean, Dow Loggins could prove that he's the best offensive mind available to continue to help Mitch. I mean, if there's progress made there, then you're not going to want to lose him. Or maybe things go poorly, and you continue to have nights like this where you're going, what's going on the sidelines? Like, how is this operational stuff happening? And then you wonder, you know, what else is happening in the league the next 11 weeks? Are certain guys going to become available? You know, I don't know. I don't think anything's been decided right now. But you're talking to somebody right now who really wasn't buying the John Fox's on the hot seat stuff in the offseason. But as I continue to see through 5 weeks, I don't think he's done himself any favors. That's what I'm saying. 11 games left, let's see this. But through 5 weeks, I'm starting to flip a little bit here.
So you're not buying, but now you're selling. That's what you're doing. You're selling.
Something like that. You confused me there, but yeah. I'm not buying. How about this? I'm not buying John Fox. I'm not ready to sell him yet. But it's not been good. Is there anything else we should get to here?
Hey, one more biggest takeaway from this game is, hey, Leonard Floyd, nice to see you. Yeah. First, in a key mix, outstanding season. Oh. Dominant player right now. But Leonard Floyd, I know it probably helped his cause that Sam Bradford's literally a statue with his feet cemented in the back of the pocket. That helps. Why was he not getting rid of the ball out of the end zone? I don't know. It's beyond me. Mike Zimmer needs to really question himself why Case Keenum wasn't starting, but it was good to see some production out of Leonard Floyd tonight.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer had a bad first half. John Fox had a bad game. Mike Zimmer had a bad first half. Much better second half. Corrected his mistakes, and I thought that was a huge difference in the outcome. Akeem Hicks, if you have the game on DVR, if you can go back and watch it, if you have NFL Game Pass and you're listening to this, go back and watch the defensive stop by the Bears before the Trubisky interception, which the Vikings were able to eat off a lot of time. That was a long drive that didn't really – it was a long time drive. They didn't really go all that far. But – and then the Bears' defense got tired. Watch Akeem Hicks on second and third down. He was exhausted. He was on the ground. He got up slowly after second down. And then the Bears weren't really able to – whatever they called, it actually put him in a pass-rushing stance on the outside in a two-point stance, and you could tell he didn't really want to do it. It looked like he was trying to tell one of his teammates to, no, you go there, and I'm going to stay in the middle, because he just didn't have it. And then he still managed to rush the passer and affect the play, even though he was clearly tired on third down after a second down stop that he made. That guy's been playing so hard and so well, and earning every single penny from that extension that he signed. And then, by the way, Trubisky throws a pick right away, and the defense has to come back out on the field. What does he do on the first play with almost no rest on the sideline? Gets a TFL on the backfield. He's been a monster, a huge bright spot for the Bears this season. Akiem Hicks is playing like an all-pro, and you know, hopefully that continues the rest of the year. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back. It's a short week now, so we'll turn around. We'll be back Wednesday with a new episode. So get your voicemails, 312-222-5050. Still time to get those in, 312-222-5050. Your reaction to Mitch Trubisky's debut, and we will air those on Wednesday's podcast. But for now, from Soldier Field, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You can find it on TuneIn, the WGN Radio app. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where our post-game reaction is up. All right, episode 20 in the books. First Mitch Trubisky start in the books. We'll turn the page to Baltimore. Ravens might be vulnerable. We'll see. We'll talk about Wednesday. We'll talk to you then.